One of the great things about space science is that the mysteries of the solar system can sometimes be unravelled by looking close to home. I spoke to Christopher Hamilton and Stephen Scheidt, two scientists at the Lunar and Planetary Laboratory at the University of Arizona, who are trying to do just that. Their interest in Mars had led them to explore the landscapes of Hawaii in search of clues to the red planet's past, and in a rather unusual way. But why choose Hawaii? It's somewhere I thought of as a tropical paradise, not a dusty Martian landscape. Christopher Hamilton put me straight.
One of the reasons why we're interested in going to Hawaii is because many parts of it are a desert. So in those areas, it's very sparsely vegetated, the volcanic surfaces are very young, and it resembles the volcanic landscapes on Mars.
So you took a particular interest in one flow of lava. Can you tell me what this eruption was like?
One of the really unusual characteristics of the lava was that it was about 20 degrees Celsius hotter than most of the eruptions from Kilauea. 20 degrees might not sound like a lot, but it actually made it much more fluid and much more similar to what water would be like. This particular eruption was a tributary system, a lot like a river.
So you've got small streams of lava which come together to make a huge river. What happens then?
The confluence of lava will cause it to begin to form large ponds or lava lakes. And they would cool over in the beginning and form a crust until all of a sudden it would overtop one of the barriers and split apart into huge plates, and you would see the bright red light glowing through them and the downflow of the lava being torn apart into pieces, incandescent and much like a river. It's actually very similar to what we see on a much larger scale on Mars.
So there are fascinating and dramatic things that can be seen in Hawaii that can help us understand things that have happened on Mars. But how can we compare the two? The team had access to top quality satellite pictures of the red planet, but satellite pictures of Earth just weren't good enough because the atmosphere blurs the pictures too much. Stephen Scheidt had a cunning solution to do a better job himself.
We have a kite. You can buy these kites from the store. You can buy them online. There's different shapes for different wind conditions.
So what technology is on board your kite?
Basically, a camera. Some of the technology there is in the suspension system, and it allows you to keep it level even though this kite is being tossed around in the wind. You can get relatively stable pictures that aren't blurry and that are fairly sharp.
You're taking thousands of pictures as you move the kite above the surface. What are you then doing with all these pictures?
We take all these pictures and we're putting them into a program that calculates a three-dimensional surface using something called multi-view stereophotogrammetry. This allows us to reconstruct the three-dimensional surface from multiple different points of view.
Can you tell me what it's like actually pulling this kite through the lava flows?
It's a workout, pulling the kite around, especially when the wind is really strong. At some point, we actually needed two people to pull the kite back down to the ground. So it's not an easy task to walk this kite around.
A strenuous bit of science. But what did the team find when they looked at the 3D landscapes they had created from the kite pictures of the lava flows in Hawaii? Christopher Hamilton explained.
So as the pond filled up initially, it left behind a mark where it had once been, and that's what we've been referring to as the bathtub ring.
A bit like when you're sort of really dirty in the bath, you leave around this line that you can see where the water level had been up to.
Yes, exactly. And so from that, we can tell that the lava dropped at least 2 meters during that drainage event.
It seems incredible that you can pick up so much detail from a camera on a kite that you can work out how part of the Earth formed in the past. But how does this relate to the team's interest in Mars? Christopher Hamilton again.
The kite is fantastic because it provides a personal satellite that allows us to compare the surface of Earth and Mars in a comparable way for the first time.
You're using this to say things about what's going on Mars. There's things you can see on the surface of Mars that look like river channels that might have been made by water, and this makes people very excited because they're interested in life on Mars. Are you confident that what people are seeing are due to lava, or is it due to something else?
Well, Mars has plenty of evidence for lava flows, but it also has ample evidence for rivers that had been carved by water. We're not suggesting that all flows on Mars that look like water are actually carved by lava.
So actually, rather than being either lava or water, the two interacting together could give us conditions under which life could survive.
Yes, exactly. So Mars at the moment, much of the surface is frozen, which locks water up into the form of ice. And these large flood lava eruptions can cover hundreds of thousands of square kilometers. So very often you will see evidence where the lava has interacted with permafrost that contains water in the form of ice that's then heated. And it's in those environments that could support bacteria. That's a very promising place to look.